Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to view our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll listen each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your television entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs, and also the TV programs are there, and a host of other Bible-related material to help you in your study of God's Holy Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have been discussing the subject of fruit of the Spirit. Last week, we began looking at joy and peace, and we want to conclude that study this morning. Persecution blossoms into joy and peace. We discussed that a little bit last week. In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, the Bible says, "So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name." Could I rejoice like the apostles did amidst such adversity? Do we understand that they were being persecuted for their faith? No wrong that they had done. They were being persecuted because they were preaching Christ. And yet, they were joyful about it. They rejoiced over that. Why? Because they knew they were doing God's will. Could we have that same type of joy if we had to face that kind of adversity? In Philippians 2:17, it says, "Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all." Philippians is considered a prison letter. Paul wrote it from prison. Yet it is joyful and exhorts others to be so, and we can read that in Philippians 4:4. Paul suffered much as a Christian. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, it says, "Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is made to stumble? Am I not burned with indignation? But if I boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmities." Yet with all the adversity that the Apostle Paul faced, the stoning, the shipwreck, being a night and day in the deep, and being beaten with rods, and being stoned, left for dead, did he regret it? Did he regret that he had given his life completely over to Christ? And did he regret all the things that he suffered? No. We look at the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He's facing death because of his faith in Christ in Rome in his second imprisonment. We read in the last letter that he would pen, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." You see, Paul understood what was really important. He understood what was really valuable, and he was grateful that he was able to suffer for the cause of Christ. And he rejoiced, and he had peace in knowing that his life was right with God. Why should we have such joy and peace? The Christian joy and peace are not connected to external circumstances. Now let me say that again. The Christian's joy and peace are not connected to our external circumstances. Joy and peace spring from being connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ, even when surrounded by thorns. In James chapter 1 and in verse 2, a passage that perplexes many. In James 1 verse 2 it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." A person is pictured as falling into being encompassed with trials, which is a placement of your person on trials, or is an experiment to prove your true faith and love for God during temptation, enticement, adversity, and trouble. These trials are varied. They come in different shapes, colors, and sizes, so to speak. They are an assortment of experiments that prove our character. They test your faith, but they bloom into patience. We need to understand that, yes, we will have adversity. Yes, we will have difficulties. Yes, things will not always go like we thought they would. And yes, things will happen that will discourage us and cause us to be sorrowful. But we need to remember the bigger picture. We need to remember the faith, the hope that we have in Christ, and the joy and love that He has for us that is expressed to Him by our faithful commitment and diligence to follow Him. Why should you be joyful? Our Savior came as He promised. Then the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I will bring great joy and tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is this born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Why should we be joyful? Man was lost and dying in sin, separated by that sin, according to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission gain, according to Hebrews 9, verse 22. Then the promise of a Savior, a Messiah, one that God would send to be our Redeemer, to redeem us, to buy us back from the bondage of sin. And that was fulfilled with the birth of Christ, and we had the remedy for sin when He died on the cross. Read Galatians 4, verse 4. If there is no Savior, there is no remedy for sin. If there is no remedy for sin, there is no reason to be in joy or have true peace. But we can have true joy and true peace because there is a remedy. And that remedy is available to all men in order that they might be right with God and escape the condemnation and burden of the guilt of their sin. God made it possible by the sending of His Son, and the Son made it possible by His death upon the cross. We should also be joyful because we have found the kingdom of heaven. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which if a man found and hid, and for joy over he goes and sells all that he has so he can buy that field. Matthew 13, verse 44. That kingdom is that's the kingdom of His dear Son, according to Colossians 1, verse 13. Why should we be joyful? We have found the kingdom of heaven. We can be part of that wonderful kingdom. We can be a part of it. We can be a member of it. And we can be a member that begins here and lasts for all eternity. We need to understand the kingdom is present now. It's not something to come. It's not something that's going to happen in the future. It's not something that God's Son is going to do when He comes again. When the Lord comes again, it's not to establish an earthly kingdom. It's not to reign on the earth for 1,000 years. He's coming here to redeem His own and to judge the world. Read 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 and 11. Read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. He's coming in judgment. He's coming for redemption and reward of those who are faithful. And we should take great joy in that, because if we're a member of His church, then we are part of His body. And if we're in His body, then we're part of His kingdom. And we've been translated into that. And that should cause us to have great joy and peace in knowing that we are where God wants us to be. Our names are written in heaven. Why in the world would we be joyful and at peace knowing that our names are written in heaven? Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. And in Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15, we get a peek into the judgment scene, and those that were with God are those who were written in the book of life. Why should we be joyful? Why should we be at peace with ourselves? Because our names are written in heaven. There'll be no joy for those whose names are not found written in that book. If your name is not in the book of life, you will not gain heaven as your eternal home. And knowing that my name is registered in heaven, knowing that my Lord put it there, and knowing that I am part of the kingdom, and that I have hope in Christ, that brings me great joy. And that gives me great peace in knowing that my life's right with God. And if I die, or if the Lord comes again, that I'm going to be okay. That kind of peace and joy can only be had with being with Christ Jesus. We should also be joyful because we have fellowship one with another. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Romans 12, 15 and 16. Why should we be joyful? We have fellowship. We are a joint participant. We are a partaker with one another. We are in God's family. We are brethren. We are in that one family. And we have love for all because God loves all of us. And so we have this spiritual relationship that we have in Christ now, and we can have it for all eternity with Him and with all the saved in heaven, and that should bring us great joy and comfort and peace in knowing that we are here for one another in order that we both might obtain that eternal home. Why should we be joyful? Because some who were lost repented. I say to you, likewise, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Luke 15, verse 7. We need to be joyful when men repent and turn to God. 2 Peter 3, 9, the Bible says God's desire is that none would perish, but all come to repentance. We should have the same mind as Christ, wishing that none to perish, but all to repent. We should always rejoice when one obeys the gospel. We should always rejoice when one commits his life to the Lord. That is a wonderful thing because it puts him in a position to obtain heaven as his eternal home. That should always bring us joy in this life. And we are connected to the true vine. In John chapter 15, verse 4 through 8, Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches. We must abide in the vine, according to verse 4. We can't do anything without that vine, according to verse 5. Withered when apart from Christ, we'll be cast into the fire and burned, according to verse 6. Requests will be granted if we abide, in verse 7. And in verse 8, if we bear much fruit, we glorify the Father. This is a true disciple. We need to understand that we can have great joy and peace when we're attached to the true vine, and that true vine is Christ. And when we bear spiritual fruit, then we can have great joy in that pleases God, and we can be at peace that we're fulfilling the role that God placed us here for in order that we might help lead others to Christ. We need to understand, according to John 8:32, that the truth can make us free. John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But we need to understand that we need to be looking and trying to strive to find people who are outside of Christ, who have no joy, who have no peace of mind, who do not understand what that is and do not understand how they can obtain it. We were put here in order to show them how they could have what we have, a true peace in knowing that your life is right with God, and great joy in knowing that your life is a blessing to God. It is something that He approves of. It is something that He sees. It is something He will reward us for, and the great joy of knowing that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And when we lay our head down at night and we rest, we know that if we don't wake up, we can truly be at peace. Why? Because we have the joy of being in Christ. Dear listener, do you have this type of joy and peace in your life? You cannot if you're outside of Christ. You cannot if you're not walking according to His will. You cannot if you're not truly committed and dedicated to be His child and to be a faithful member of His church and to walk according to the path that He gave us in His Word. This joy and peace is for anyone. Anyone can have this true peace that passes all understanding, can have the joy knowing that your life rests with God and knowing that you're going to obtain heaven when you die. Ladies and gentlemen, do you have this type of joy and peace? If not, please come and visit us. Let us show you how you can obtain it. Let us show you how you can learn to maintain it and to live with it, that when you die, or when the Lord comes again, you know that you will have eternal joy